Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Shabbos Daf Kuf Mem Vov. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. We begin today's shiur 12 lines from the top at the Mishnah. Before we learn the Mishnah, let us glance at the side under our Nosei topic heading, where we've written Psichas Chovis B'Shabbos. We'll be speaking about the opening of a vessel on Shabbos, Ayyidei Shvira Vasiyas Nekev, through breaking it open or making a hole to get out the contents. The Mishnah, Shoiver Odom Es Hechovis, Lechol Heimeno Grogros. A person can break open a jar using a knife or a sword to extract from it Grogros. Grogros are dried figs. Rashi points out that through mekalkel, the ruination of the utensil, here you're ruining the jar by breaking it open, mekalkel involves no isur Shabbos. There's no Shabbos violation in doing something that's of a destructive nature. Ubilvad, the Mishnah goes on, Ubilvad shelo yiskavin lasos kli, provided that in opening it, you are not intending to make a nice opening. A nice Pesach. By opening it with the intention of making a nice opening to the jar, that would be a Shabbos violation. V'ein noikvin magufa shel chavis divrei Rebbe Yehuda. A magufa is a clay seal on a barrel or a jar. One is not to make a hole in the magufa, but rather remove the entire top, the entire clay seal from the top of the jar. The chachomim matirin, the chachomim allow the making of a hole. V'lo yikoveno mitzida, one is not to make a hole in its side. V'im hoisa nekuva, and if there had been a hole in it, lo yitain olal shaiva, one should not put wax over it to cover, to seal the hole. B'nei shumim mareyach, that involves a malocha of smoothing out, which is a subcategory of what's known as maleches memachik. Omar Rav Yehuda, Maise bo lifnei Rav Yochanan Zakkai be'Arov. Arov is the name of a country, of a region. So an incident came to Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai in Arov, the Omar, and he said, Choshishani lo mechatos, that I am fearful that this person is guilty to bring, is obligated to bring a sin offering, indicating that this is a Torah level violation. Before we go further in the Gemara, we glance at the side where we have a topic heading, Tiltul Sakin, the movement of a knife, L'shem Psichas Chovis, for the purpose of opening the barrel or the jar. Shimush besakin lemak Torah she'eino mu'edes lo. We're going to discuss the movement of the knife, in this case, or in general, the movement of a utensil for a purpose other than which it was designed. A knife is not designed for opening barrels. The Gemara, Omar Rav Hoshaya, lo shonu ela drusos. The heter of opening a barrel is only if it contains pressed figs, so that a person is breaking open the barrel with a knife for the purpose of getting to the pressed figs, that even without the breaking open of the barrel element, I still would have to move the knife in order to cut the drusos, the pressed, compacted figs. Avol mifurados lo. If I'm opening a barrel for the purpose of getting out its loose, separate figs, a situation that I don't have to cut anything. In the case of drusos, I have to cut the compressed figs. to separate them. In the case of mufurados, they're loose figs, so I'm not entitled to move the knife for opening the chavis. Rashi points out, based on the continuation of the Gemara, that our Mishnah is in accordance with Rabbi Nechemyah, who has a very restrictive approach to the movement of vessels on Shabbos, who holds that vessels are moved only for a purpose for which they were designed. So we continue in the Gemara. Umifurados lo, the Gemara asks, is it really so that if the jar, the barrel, contains loose figs, you can't move the knife for the opening of such a barrel? Meisve, we raise an objection. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, mevi odom es hechovis shel yayin, a person can bring a barrel or a jar of wine, umatiz roisha besayef, and lop off the head with a sword, umanicha lifnei horch, and then put the chovis in front of his guests, bishabas, v'eino choshesh, and there is no problem. Now, a knife is not necessary for wine distribution, and yet you are allowed to use the sword or the knife for opening a barrel of wine. The Gemara responds, Ahi Rabbonon hi. The Tanaic source just cited is in accordance with the Rabbonon that argue with Rabbi Nechemyah and say, they say that vessels can be moved for purposes other than that which they were designed. Masnisin, on the other hand, our Mishnah, Rabbi Nechemyah hi. Our Mishnah is in accordance with Rabbi Nechemyah that holds the restrictive approach that vessels or utensils are not moved other than for the purpose they were designed. Umay docha ke de Rabbi Oshaya lukmei masnisin ke Rabbi Nechemyah betrusos. What forces Rabbi Oshaya, whose name we underlined just a few lines above at the beginning of the Gemara, what forces Rabbi Oshaya to set up the Mishnah in accordance with Rabbi Nechemyah and describe only a barrel containing pressed figs? Lukma b'mefuradois v'rabbanan, why not say that the Mishnah is talking about a vessel containing separate figs, loose figs, or any other content that doesn't need or require a knife for separation, and you are nevertheless allowed to use the knife to open up the barrel, and say that this is, our Mishnah is in accordance with the Rabbanan that argue with Rabbi Nechemyah. So, again, the main point is, what's forcing Rabbi Shai to set up the Mishnah in this very restrictive case of pressed figs and according to Rabbi Nechemyah? Omar Rava, Masnisin Kshisei, the Mishnah itself poses a challenge or a difficulty, and the only way out of it is to do what Rabbi Shaya did, to set it up as he said. And the Gemara proves this. My iria detoni grogros. What is causing the Mishnah to use as the example of the contents of the barrel, the grogros, the dried figs? Lisni peros. Why not speak about a chavis containing fruits in general? What's special about grogros? Elishmamino bedrusos. The nature of dried figs is that they are very often prepared in a compressed cake form. And therefore, since the Mishnah spoke about a barrel, a chavis containing grogros, I understood, says Rabbi Shaya, Rabbi Shaya understood that the Mishnah is speaking in this restrictive fashion in accordance with Rabbi Nechemyah, and hence only because they're dried pressed figs am I allowed to use the knife for opening the barrel, because I'm going to need the knife anyway for cutting the figs, which is a purpose for which knives are designed. On the side, under our Mivneh heading, because of the appearance of a new marking, diamonds, we have the following written. Shnei Mekoros Chalukos. We'll see two sources that are at odds with one another, that are different than from one another. Be'inyan shimush b'kli umatora limatora she'eino miyuod lo. The use of a vessel for a purpose for which the vessel is not designed. And we will show these two sources reflect the machloikis that we've alluded to already between Rabbi Nechemyah and the Rabbanan. Tanyo Chada, the Gemara, one source, number one, says, Chosolo shel grogros v'shel tmorim matir u'mafkia v'chotech. Chosolos are receptacles made of palm leaves that are used. These receptacles are used for storing dates that don't ripen on the tree. So in these vessels, they eventually ripen or become edible. So these chosolos of grogros, of dried figs or tamarim, dates, matir. Matir means if the cover was tied on with a rope, you can untie the rope. Umafkia. Mafkia is to unravel a rope using a vessel, using a kli, as Rashi says. V'chotech. Chotech is to cut the rope, again, using a vessel. So this source says you can untie and you can unravel and you can cut using a vessel, using a knife, let's say. V'tanya idoch, there's another source that says matir, you can untie the tied cover. However, avolo mafkia velo chotech, but you cannot unravel nor can you cut. So this, are these sources contradictory? Lo kashya, no, they're not contradictory. Ha-Rabbonon, or Rabbi Nechemya. Source 1, which is lenient, is in accordance with the Rabbonon. Source 2 is in accordance with Rabbi Nechemya. Desanya, and here we have a source featuring Shitas Rabbi Nechemya, the opinion of Rabbi Nechemya. Rabbi Nechemya Oimer, Afilu Tarvid, Afilu Talis, Afilu Sakin, even a Tarvid is a spoon, a Talis is a garment, and a Sakin is a knife. Ein nitlin elu letzorach tashmishon. They are not to be moved around other than movement for their design purpose. Bo minei meirav sheshes. Mahu lemivras chavita beburtia b'shabata. Before we go further, we note on the side the nosei, the topic heading, asias pesach bekli, the making of an opening in a vessel, ayidei nekiva beromach, by piercing it with a spear, ha'im mutar u'asur, is it mutar to do that or not? In general, we maybe should have mentioned this earlier, but there is a prohibition on Shabbos in making or fashioning vessels. And included in fashioning vessels also has to do with making openings to vessels. All of these things come under the general heading of tikkun mona, the fashioning of a vessel, which is categorized as a molocha on Shabbos, as either makib patish or possibly bone, without getting too involved with the issue of yesh or ein binyan bekelim. But certainly there is a problem of makib patish. So, Rav Bo Minei Merav Sheshes. The question was asked of Rav Sheshes, as we read already, Maulim Mivraz. Mivraz is to pierce chavita, a vessel, a barrel, the burtia, with a spear, b'shabata, on Shabbos. Now, there are two sides of the question, and we indicate this with our markings, Aleph, and then O Dilma, Beis O Dilma, or maybe, and you notice how the O Dilma is swiggle underlined. This is a transition expression that we like to highlight with a marking. So, lepischa kamechavin v'asir, in piercing the barrel, is the person's intention to make a hole, to make an opening, an entrance, and therefore it would be prohibited. O Dilma la'ayin yafe kamechavin v'shori, or is his intention to make a nice large opening for the purpose of getting a lot of wine out. Looking at Rashi, la'ayin yofe, laharchiv moitze hayayin b'nekev golu, to widen the exit point of the wine with a large hole. Midalo, maybe that's his intention, midalo nokiv lei kederech hanoikvin nekiv agol v'yofe, from the fact that he doesn't trouble himself to make a nice round, a smooth round hole, so maybe this is his intention, simply to make a wide opening for the purpose of getting out a lot of wine. So that, if that's his intention, and it's not for the purpose of fashioning a nice hole per se, then it would be allowed. So Rav Sheshes answers, Omar Le, Lepischa Kamechavin V'Osir, by piercing the barrel with the spear, his real intention is for making a pesach, an entrance or a hole, and therefore it's aser. Meisvei, Rav Shimon ben Leomer, may the adam chovis shel yayin umatiz roshu b'sayef. Here, this source says that you can use a sword to lop off the head of the barrel with a sword. So you see that you can make holes using sayef. What difference does it make whether it's a sayef or a burtia, a spear? So it should be all out. The Gemara says no. Hosam vadai la'ayin yofe komachavin. And the source we just cited with Reb Shimon Liel, there it's very clear that he's making a large hole. It says matiz es roshim, means you're lopping off the top. That's a large hole for the purpose of serving wine in large, generous quantities. That's ayin yofe. However, hocha, in the case of the piercing of the barrel with a spear, imisa de ayin yofe komachavin, if his real intention was for ayin yofe, for generous distribution of the contents, liftuche miftach, then he should have opened up the magufa, the seal. And he didn't do that. He just pierced it with a spear, indicating that his interest is really in making the hole and not necessarily for ayin yofa, for generous distribution. Ein noikvin magufa shel chavis, divrei Rabbi Yehuda, v'chachomim matirin. In our Mishnah, we saw a controversy concerning the making of a neck of a hole in the magufa, in the clay seal on the top of a barrel. Before we go further, let's glance at the side. We have a nosei. The nosei, the topic headings, Mikum Asiyas Nekev B'Megufas Chovis. We'll deal with the location of the making of the hole, the location of the hole that will be made in the barrel cover, in the barrel magufa, the barrel seal. And we will use a double underline to feature, and we explain under our Mivneh heading, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Chisda. These are names that we highlight. They are Cholkim, they disagree, Behesber Machlokas HaTanoim, B'Mishnah Seinu. They have a different explanation regarding the Tanaic controversy in our Mishnah, Be'ezim Mikre, Cholkim U'Mosayesh HaSkoma, the Divrei HaKol. We will try to see under what circumstances there is a Machlokas, as the Mishnah indicates, and under what circumstances will there be unanimity or agreement. So even though the Gemara doesn't last many lines, nevertheless, it contains a number of variables. Omar Rav Huna, Machlokes Lamala, the Machlokes in the issue concerning making a nekev, a hole in the magufa, in the clay seal, is Bema Lamala, means at the top of the magufa, on the top of the seal, Avol. Min hatzad, divrei kol also, if the intention is to make a hole in the side of the magufa, everyone will agree that's forbidden. V'hainu dekatani lo yikavena mitzida, and that's what the Mishnah said. Don't pierce it from the side. And at that point, there was no controversy. So making a hole in the side of the magufa, that is prohibited. And the reason for that is because holes on the side are holes made as a pesach, as a special opening, and that we said is problematic. The Rav Chisda, we continue in the Gemara with a more lenient approach. Rav Chisda, Mar Machlokes Min Atzad. The Machlokes arises in making the hole from the side. Aval Al Gabo, Divrei HaKol Mutar. But making a hole from above, from on top, everyone holds that's allowed. And that which the Mishnah says not to make a hole from the side, that's an issue of making a hole not in the clay seal, but a hole in the barrel itself, on the side of the barrel itself. Tanu Rabbanan, Ein Noikvin Nekev Chodosh B'Shabbos. A person is not to make a new hole on Shabbos. If a person wants to add to an existing hole, wants to add to the opening of an existing hole, that he's able to do. The Yeshomrim ain Mosifin. There's a Yeshomrim, another opinion that says not to do that either. V'shavin shenoikvin b'nekev yoshon l'chadchila. And there is agreement that you can make a hole in an old hole. What is that? There had been an old hole that got sealed up. So you can reopen that hole which was once there, which was once open. So the widening of an existing hole is not allowed by the Yeshomrim, but there will be agreement. Even the Yeshomrim will agree that if there was a pre-existing hole that got sealed up, you can reopen that. The Gemara asks, "V'tana kamo ma'ishno minekiv chodosh delo dekomasakin pischa." What is the difference between that which we're allowing now, in other words, where the Tanakhama allows widening a hole, and yet he holds that making a new hole at the outset is not allowed? So that's what the Gemara is asking. What's the difference between a Nekev Chodosh that the Tanakhama forbids, the Komasakim, because by that he's making an opening, and that's called Tikkun, an improvement of the opening. The Sufinami Komasaki Pischa, by adding to the opening, you're also improving the opening. Omar Rabo, Devar Torah, Kol Pesach Sheinu Osilach, Lahosienu Pesach. On a Torah level, if an opening is made for the purpose of getting out the contents, but the hole is not there for putting into the vessel content, so it's not Osui, it's not made lahachnis ulahotzi, eino pesach, it's not considered an opening, it's not considered a pesach that the Torah forbids. V'rabbanan hu, the gazur mishum lul shatara golem, the ovid liyuli avir lafuki hevla. The Rabbanan, however, asur, they made a gzera, a preventive ruling regarding the making of a new hole in anticipation of someone making a hole in a chicken coop, which is by definition a hole made for exit and entrance. Entrance of fresh air and exit of stale hevlas, heat from the chicken coop. So we understand that in our case of making a hole in a barrel, that hole is not going to be used for filling up the barrel. However, it's a hole used for exiting purposes. So the Rabbanan restrict making a new hole because, or in anticipation of, you're making a new hole in a lul shatarna golem, and that kind of hole is a Torah level violation. The im ba lahoisif moisif. This, you'll notice, is a quote from that which we saw in the source just above. We have a little arrow to the immediate left hand side of the text. You can see where this is coming from. If you come to add, and we don't to a hole, we allow you to add, and we don't make the gzera, maybe he will come to add to a lul shulchana golem. The reason for that is that we don't make such a gzera is because a sufi vadai belul shulchana golem la'osilo sufi. A person won't come to such a situation of adding to, increasing the width of a lul shulchana golem hole, the chicken coop hole. Why would people certainly not widen chicken coop holes? The top of Omid Beis, we continue, mishum richasha, because that will, richasha are creatures, are carnivorous creatures that consume chickens. And by widening a hole, you're then enabling the richasha to get in. So a person obviously wants to protect his chicken, so he won't widen a pre-existing lul shatarna golem hole. Therefore, the Rabbanan can tell you that when it comes to widening in a hole, there's no fear of your coming to do a widening that would be an isur d'oraisa. Therefore, you're allowed to do a widening of a barrel hole. We continue with a quote from that which we saw on Omer Aleph, and we have a little star that you can align with a star on Omer Aleph to the side of the Gemara text to see where this comes from. V'yeshomrim ein mosifin. We saw the second opinion that says you cannot even widen a hole. Why is that? Zimnin de lo tipne me'ikora. There it could be that the original hole that you made wasn't sufficient for getting out the air of a chicken coop and to have fresh air enter. V'osi la'avuchi bay. And even in the chicken coop situation, you will come to making a widening to an addition to the hole, widening a hole in the chicken coop case. And since the Yesh Omrim holds that even in the chicken coop case, there you could come to a widening situation. Therefore, and that would be an Isur Boneh, an Isur Doraisa. Therefore, even with regard to the barrel widening of the hole, we prohibit. Dorash Rav Nachman Mishum Rabbi Yochanan Halacha Ki Yesh Omrim. So Rav Nachman rules like the Yesh Omrim Lechumra, meaning that even when it comes to widening a pre-existing hole, you're not allowed to do that. V'shavin Shenoik V'nekev Yashan Lechadchila, and we saw there is agreement with regard to the reopening of a hole that had been sealed up. Omar V'yudomar Shmuel Loshana L'bemokam Osu L'shamer. Before we go further, we glance at the side of the Gemara. Under the Nosei, the topic heading, we've written Noikvin Nekev Yoshan Shinistam. You can reopen an old hole that got sealed up. Itnai She'eino Stimo Malyus, provided that the sealing, that is S-E-A-L-I-N-G, the sealing of the hole, the closing of the hole, was not a solid, permanent type closing. The Gemara will talk about holes that were sealed up, l'shamer and l'chazek. L'shamer is simply to guard, to keep the contents from flowing out, and l'chazek is to strengthen the vessel. And l'chazek is considered a stronger type of hole. When we speak about l'shamer, Rashi explains it's to keep the fragrance of the wine in the barrel, that it shouldn't evaporate and thereby ruining the wine. But a hole that was sealed up l'shamer just to keep the fragrance in, or the aroma, the wine aroma, that is not a solid seal, and therefore its opening isn't considered like making a new hole from the start. Now let's turn to the Gemara. Omar Rav Yudah Mar Shmuel Lo Shanu Ela B'Mokum Osui L'Shamer. The idea of opening and reopening an old hole is where the sealing was made under circumstances L'Shamer, to keep the fragrance. The reason it was sealed was to keep the aroma in the barrel. And as we said, that's not a very solid seal to begin with. Avol L'Chazek, if the hole was sealed up so as to strengthen the barrel itself, to keep the wine in, usur, that would be usur to reopen, because after we say it was a solid closing up, a solid seal, making a hole in that, true, there was a hole there once before, but making a hole in that location would be like making a hole at the outset, a brand new hole. Hechi domi l'shamer, hechi domi l'chazek, how can you evaluate whether a hole is made, or the ceiling, that is, was made l'shamer, or the ceiling was made for l'chazek? So before we go on, we have a new marking, we have a double underline, and under our mivneh heading, we've written that the double underline highlights the machlokis Rav Chisda v'Rabbo b'mikumom shel stimos hanal, regarding the location of these holes and their ceilings. So Omer Rav Chisda, l'malo min hayayin zehu l'shamer, a hole and its seal that was made above the wine level, that is a sealing that was made l'shamer, to keep the aroma in. L'mata min hayayin, but however below the wine level, where on the inside of the seal there was actual wine, zehu l'chazek. That's the hole that is sealed in a more permanent type fashion, and the reopening of that represented a problem, according to Shmuel. Rabbo Omar, lemato min hayayin nami zehu l'shamer, even below the wine level, below the wine surface, could be a hole that's l'shamer. Vechi domi l'chazek, so if that's l'shamer, what's a hole that was sealed up l'chazek? for strengthening purposes. Answer, kigon shenikva lamato min hashmorim. This is a hole that is below the grape dregs or lees, and at that point all the weight of the wine is there because it's quite low on the barrel. It's nearly, we're talking, Rashi says, Eitzel Shulav, the Shulav or the bottom. It's a hole that was sealed up by the bottom. And at that point, there's a lot of, the weight of the contents is great. Therefore, the sealing would have to be lechazek, to strengthen, to be of a more permanent nature. Continuing in the Gemara, Omar le Abaye l'Rabo, Tanya de Mesayea Loch. We have a Tanaic source that supports your teaching. Now, we're going to see a source that doesn't seem to be connected at all to our discussion. Where the source will feature halachas regarding a bias. A bias is a house, a structure. We're not going to be talking about a barrel, but we're going to try to extract from this source a principle. And the principle will be how you view a stimo ma'alya. So how do you view a permanent type ceiling? S-E-A-L-I-N-G. So let's see the source. Bias sosum, a closed house. Yeshlo arba amos. This halacha is not so relevant to our discussion, but in dividing a courtyard in which, let us say, of two houses, there is a rule that in front of the doorway, you are entitled to a private four amos of courtyard to be called your own. So, in dividing a courtyard, a bias sosum would mean doorways that are sealed shut. Those sealed shut doorways are entitled to four amos per doorway, so that if you have two neighbors in the same courtyard and one has a house with four doors opening to the courtyard and the other neighbor has two doors, so the one with the four doors will get four amos of depth in front of the doorway in the chotzer for themselves, and the other fellow has only two doorways to his house will get only two times the four amos. Poratz es petzimov, if you eliminated, you broke down the door posts and sealed the door in a more permanent fashion, namely eliminating the door posts. It's a case where you basically bricked up the entire doorway without any indication that a door was there to begin from before, because you removed the door posts. So ein lo dalet amos, then you don't get the four amos. That's called a stimo ma'alya. So that's a permanent seal. It's like you made a wall of a house, and you don't get any personal four amos in front of a wall that faces a chotzer. We should have pointed out earlier that after the chotzer members are given their four amos in front of the doorways, the rest of the area is divided equally according to the number of neighbors in the chotzer, in the courtyard. But if you were parasets pesimov, and this is really what's important for us, you see that it's not considered an entranceway anymore. It's considered totally sealed, and therefore you're not entitled to the four amos in front of those original doorways. Another halacha regarding a closed house, bayis sasum eino mitame kol svivov. If there is a corpse inside a house that's a bayis sasum, so the area surrounding the house is not considered tumah. There's a rabbinic tumah that emanates from houses or from structures that have a corpse in them. An area of four amos in front of the we should say more accurately, in front and around a grave. On a Torah level, a grave is metame if you overshadow it. Rabbinically, even four amos around the grave communicates tumah so as to prevent people from overshadowing the grave itself, prevent primarily kohanim from coming too close. So we impose an additional four amos tumah area around a grave. Not so with regard to a house that has doorways. If a body is in a house, so only in front of the doorway will there be tuma? Not around the house. That's eino mitamekol svivov. Even though the doorways are sealed shut. Poratz es petzimov. If, however, you sealed the house completely, including the doorways by removing the doorposts and bricking up the doorway, that in that fashion, metame kol svivov, then the house becomes a type of mausoleum, if there's a corpse in it, and then the halacha regarding the four amo belt of tumah around such a house will take effect. So again, there's an illustration of a permanent type ceiling being viewed as if there was no doorway to begin with over there, and that's the tie into the hole that is made lechazek as he said that, as Rabbo said, a hole made under the on the bottom of the barrel, that's a permanent type hole. If we look at the Rashi is very terse. He says Tani the Meseloch the Lopoka Shein Pesach Minei, the concept of an entrance, of an opening, doesn't leave Elo Bestimum Alias unless you make a really permanent type hole, a permanent ceiling, and that is in a case where the hole that you're sealing up is at the bottom of the barrel. In order to make it an effective seal, it has to be of a rather permanent type nature. As we continue in the Gemara, if you scan ahead a few lines, you'll notice a number of diamonds appear. On the side of the Gemara, we've written Nosei Mivneh, Sidra Shel Tikunim V'chadomeh. There's a series of vessel improvements and other related matters. B'chol Echomem Yesh Machlokas. In each one of these examples, that immediately following the diamond, you'll notice a controversy. We've used a numbering system here, comment on the side, we've indicated that diamonds that are numbered 1 through 3, Misparim Bitzad HaNosim Shebem Rav Ushmuel Chokim, so that cases 1, 2, and 3 feature a Machlokas, Rav, and Shmuel. There is an unnumbered diamond in which you don't have a Machlokas, Rav, and Shmuel, but rather two other names appear, also in a slightly different structure. So as we go on to the Gemara, we'll notice that. Gufsa, Rav Osar Ushmuel Shori. Gufsa is a tube or a straw that's inserted into a barrel. The reason for this tube is to form a type of nozzle or spout. Rashi says Shiyetze Yayin Derech HaKona, that the wine content shall flow through this kona, through this reed, through this straw. So the case of Gufsa, the Gemara opens up without any explanation, just gives you a machlokas. Rav doesn't allow, and Shmuel allows. However, what are they actually arguing about? So the Gemara goes through several stages. We've numbered them. You can see numbers here. Mechatech lechatchila dekule amalo pligi de'osir. To fashion a proper tube with a proper fit into the barrel side. Rashi says, Lesakno Lamidas Hanekev, there was a pre-existing hole, and you're making the tube to fit the hole. That everyone agrees is also to do on Shabbos. Haduri de Kuliamalo Pligi de Shori, to refit or to reattach a tube that fell out, everyone agrees that is allowed. Ki Pligi, the machlokis arises de chaticha v'lo misakna. You have a tube that was cut, but it wasn't placed in the hole to know whether it is a good fit. So can you put a reed like that into, or to put a tube like that into the barrel? Mad osar, one who forbids, gazrina dilma osi l'michtach l'chadchila. We're afraid that you might come to cut the reed initially, to make an initial reed cutting. Uman Deshori, the one who allows, Shmuel then allows, lo gazrina. He says you can put in a pre-cut reed even though it wasn't originally cut to size. Dorash Rav Shisha Braid Rav Idi Mishmei Rav Yochanan Halacha Krib Yoshia. The halacha follows Rav Yoshia that we saw in the let us actually go back. We made a mistake. We skipped a few lines. We continue with the Gemara Kitanoi. You'll notice that we have a long point marking to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara's text. Kitanoi, in other words, that which we saw as far as a machlokis Rav and Shmuel is actually a machlokis Tanoim. So we have a Tanaic source you can see in a frame. The frame is broken up into a resha and sefa, a beginning part and an end part. And at the very end of the source, Rabbi Yoshia will appear. The Gemara, before establishing what the machlokis Tanoim is, we have to figure what Rabbi Yoshia is addressing. So let's see the source. Bear in mind that all of these lines are needed to form the Gemara's observation that we have a Machlokas Tanoim on hand. In other words, the Machlokas Rav and Shmuel parallels a Machlokas Tanoim. So the source says, Ein Choitchin Shvoferes B'Yom Tov V'Ein Tzorch Lomer B'Shabbos. Person is not allowed to cut a tube to make an initial cutting of a reed that will form a tube on Yom Tov, and certainly not allowed on Shabbos. The Seifa says, Nofla, if the tube fell out, then Machzirin Osah B'Shabbos, V'ein Tzorch Lomer B'Yom Tov. You can refit it or reattach it on Shabbos, and it goes without saying that you could reattach a tube that had been in place that fell out if it was on Yom Tov. Rabbi Yoshia Mekel. Rabbi Yoshia is lenient. So the Gemara asks Rabbi Yoshia, hey, what is he referring to? Ilemo Aresha. If he is lenient with regard to the Resha, how be Hakam Asakin Mona? He is fashioning a vessel. He's making a tube out of a reed. He's cutting a reed as a tube. That would not be allowed. Elo Asefa. Is he lenient with regard to that which the Seifa taught? Well, Tanakama Nami Mishra Koshori. The Tanakama is also lenient there in the Seifa. If an attached tube had fallen out, you can put it back into place. Elo, so what is the Machloikes? Elo, the Chaticha Velo Miskino Iko Binayu. The case of a reed that had been cut, but it wasn't placed in the hole to know whether it's the right fit. Mar Sovar Gazrinan, the Tanakama will not allow you to put it in. And Mar Sovar Lo Gazrinan, Rabbi Yoshia says you can put it in, we don't make gzera that you're going to start to refashion or make proper fitting tubes. Dorash Rav Shisha Brei de Rav Idi Mishmei de Rav Yochanan Halacha Karebi Yoshia. So Rav Shisha rules like Rav Yoshia, who is lenient. Vim Hoysa Nekuva V'chulei. It said Lo Yitein Olea Shaiva. The Mishnah said that if you had a hole and you wanted to seal it up, you should not seal it up with wax. So going on in the Gemara, we have another case. Mishcha. Mishcha is a very thick oil that could be used for sealing a hole. Rav Osar, Rav prohibits the smearing on of this thick oil around the hole in the barrel, and Shmuel Shori. Shmuel says it's okay. Mad Osar, Rav who forbids Gazrinon Mishum Shaiva, don't use the thick oil because you might come to use the wax. And in using the wax, you're over on Memachik, which is an Av Molocha, a primary prohibited action on Shabbos. Uman Deshori, Shmuel, who allows the use of the thick oil, Lo Gazrinon. We're not afraid that if we allow the thick oil, you will come to use the wax. The wax presents a Torah level problem. The oil, not so. Amale Rav Shmuel ba Rav Chona le Rav Yosef beferush amrislon mishmei de Rav. Rav Shmuel ba Rav Chona says to Rav Yosef, "You told us explicitly in the name of Rav Mishcha Shori, which is not like Rav was presented just a few lines above. Use the arrows to the side of the Gemara text to see the point."
Omar Tovus Rishpa, Omar Shmuel. Tovus Rishpa, Tovus is a name, Rishpa is his occupation, he was a trapsman. And he says, Tovus says the name of Shmuel, Hai Tirpo Di Asa, Osir. Now, here we have another case, but in this, you'll see there's Rav and Shmuel don't appear here. That's why this is not numbered. Tirpa de Asa is a leaf. The Asa is a plant, like it's known as a myrtle plant. It's a habdas, that which we're familiar with maybe from a sukkis. So a myrtle leaf is osir, says is osir to insert a myrtle leaf into a hole of a barrel to serve as a spout. My time, why is that forbidden to fold or affix a myrtle leaf into a barrel hole? Rav Yemar midifti omar gzero mishum mar zev. The prohibition is you might come to make a proper mar zev. A mar zev in this context means a proper spout. In other contexts, a mar zev is a roof gutter from which water or roof spouting. So, but our purposes, it refers to a proper spout. Rav Ashi Omar, Gzero Shemo Yiktom. The fear is you might, if we allow you to put in the myrtle leaf into the hole, you might cut off a myrtle leaf from a branch for the purpose of making the spout. That would be similar to Masakin Kli, fashioning a vessel. My Binah, what is the point of difference between Rav Yemar and Rav Ashi that we've numbered 1 and 2? Ikal Binayo, a case where you will see a difference between them is Dekotim Umanchi, where a myrtle leaf has already been prepared and is lying there. So, according to Rav Yemar, that will be forbidden. But according to Rav Ashi, then it would be okay. Regarding this last point, let's take a look at the Rabbeinu Hananel, who speaks about the Tirpa de Asa, and he says that according to everybody, if you had a Ola Shel Hadas and it was not in the hole before Shabbos, everyone would agree you cannot put it in the hole on Shabbos, whether it's Gzero Mishum Marzev or Gzero Shemo Yiktom. The Nafgamina case, as the Gemara said, was Ikabanam Dekotim Umanchi. Manchi means, not like we said earlier, but it means Manchi is already, the leaf is already in the hole, and it would only be a question of adjusting it, as the Rabbeinu Hananel says, where you can see we've underlined. Let's read his words. He says, Vilu Rav Ashi Lohitir, Elo Shimhoya Hanekev Moshech Mimenu. Even Rav Ashi is not allowed unless other than a case where the Nekev extends beyond it, and then there's a star at the bottom, Nira Ditzorch Lomar Munach Benekev Mutur Limshoch Mimenu. That the leaf is in the hole, you can then extend it a bit more. It means, like, it seems to me it would mean adjusting the leaf in the hole. So that if it's already in the hole, then you can adjust the leaf to make the spout longer, and that is the case that Rav Ashi will allow. But according to the Rabbeinu Hananel, even if you have a pre-cut leaf, everyone agrees you can't put it into the hole. We continue in the Gemara. Bei Sadya is material that you would use as a pillow. Rashi says it's felt, and people fold up this felt material underneath themselves to serve as a pillow or a mattress. Now, the issue over here is if you have a sheet of this felt material, and you want to, let's say, cloak yourself, wear it through a public thoroughfare, so in a clothing fashion, a worn fashion, in order to get it to where you want it on Shabbos. So can you cloak yourself in the felt material in order to get it to your destination where you will use it as a pillow? So Rav Osar Ushmil Shori. Rav forbids wearing it derech malbush, wearing it as if it were clothing, and Shmuel allows. But rakin de kuli amalo pligi de shori, if it's a soft felt sheet of material, everyone agrees it's allowed, then it would be considered a malbush, something people would wear. But kushin, if it's a hard, a firm, tight material, de kuli amalo pligi de osur, everyone will agree that people wouldn't wear it, therefore you can't attempt this trick of carrying it derech malbush. People wouldn't wear that. Ki pligi b'mitzi, when we're talking about a middle level. Man de osar, the opinion that forbids, rav that forbids, mechse kemasu, it appears like a burden, like you're carrying something. Man de shori, lo mechse kemasu, by wearing it, it doesn't appear that it is a mere burden. And we now continue with a long point. Rav's restriction wasn't said explicitly, but through an incident. The Rav came to a place that there wasn't enough room for everyone to sit. Nofik Yosef Bekarmelis, Aisu Lei Be Sadia. So someone brought to Rav, through a Carmelis, a rabbinic area, rabbinic region, as opposed to a Rishus HaRabim, and Aisulei Beis Sadia, they brought to him the Beis Sadia, they were in a worn fashion, Lo Yosef, and he did not sit on it. Man Dechaza Sovar Mishum the Beis Sadia also, the one who saw that Rav hesitated where Rav did not sit on it, figured because Rav holds it's also to transport it in this worn fashion. The lo he, however, as we said, it was michlolo. Rav never asked explicitly, it was only derived from this story, so the Gemara says it's not so. The Rav achruzi machruz beisadya shori. Rav had once publicized that the beisadya arrangement is actually allowed. So the question is, why did he not sit on the felt that was brought to him? Because of honor to the other important rabbinic figures that were there, that didn't have room, there wasn't room for them to sit down, so he didn't want to sit. Umani, you know, who are these important figures that Rav was concerned about? Rav Kahana for Rav Asi. As Rashi says, Umishim kavod Rav Asi shalohem dovor leishev alav, they didn't have anything to sit on. The Yoshvan Agabi Kaka, they would have sat directly on the floor, so Rav didn't want to be seated on the felt while they were sitting directly on the floor. So, Rav, that's the reason for Rav's hesitation, and not because he prohibits the transport of it through the through wearing it. The Mishnah. Noisen tafshil lusohabor b'shvil shi'ei shamor. A person can put a pot of food in a pit where there's no water so as to keep it cool. In the pit, the temperature is cooler, so that it doesn't sour because of the heat. V'es hamayim hayofim baroyim, and a person can take a vessel that's filled with nice water, with clean drinking water, and put it into a pool of undrinkable water. To b'shvil shi'itzanu to cool it, to chill it. A person can take a vessel of cold water and put it in the heat so that it warms up. One whose clothing fell off on the road, if they fell into water, he can wear his soaking clothing and doesn't have to be choshesh that people will suspect him of having washed his clothing on Shabbos, which would be a Torah prohibition. Nevertheless, we're not choshesh for that. When he gets to the outer courtyard of the city, which is a courtyard near the entrance to the city, in a place that things are guarded, In other words, things that are left there would be there with for safekeeping. Shelchan b'chama avolo k'neged om. He then spreads them out in the sun to have them dry out, but not in front of everybody, so that they don't think that here we have a person that washed his clothing on Shabbos. Pshita. The Gemara asks, is it not obvious that you can put a tafshil in a bor? As the Mishnah opened up, what's the chiddush? What's the purpose in teaching me that which is obvious? So the Gemara says, Ma'u d'teimo, without the Mishnah, I would have thought, Nigzor mishum ashvi gumos, that you should not be allowed to put the pot in a pit, because you might come to smooth out the bottom of the pit so that the pot sits well. Komash molon, the Mishnah informs us we're not worried about that arising, and therefore you can put a pot in an empty pit. The S, of course, smoothing out the bottom of a pit would have been a Shabbos violation, but we're saying we're not worried about that. The S hamayim hayofim b'royim, pshita, that's obvious. You can put drinking water into cold, unsavory water. Seifa, it's the richale. It's true that that particular teaching doesn't have any real value to it because it's obvious, but the continuation is what is of importance. The eshatzonein b'chamo, the placing of the cold water in the sun to heat it up, that is allowed. Well, honami pshita, there's nothing wrong with that. So ma'u d'teimo, I might have said, Nigzor duma osi litmuni beremetz. We won't allow you to put the cold water in the heat to heat up, because if we allow that, you might come to put the cold water in coals on, and that would be forbidden to do on Shabbos. Komash malon, the Mishnah tells us we don't make such a gzeira. Mi shenoshu v'chulei, Omar Rav Yudah Omar Rav. And the topic on the side, we have a nosei kloli, a general topic, kibus begodim, the issue of washing of clothing, and the nosei, the immediate topic, is hagdorah beinyan maras ayin, qualifications with regard to the area of halacha known as maras ayin. Maras ayin is a situation that would create a false impression. So Rav Yehuda Amar Rav says, kol makom shusha chachamim nei maras ayin, on all places that the chachamim issued restrictive rulings because of the creation of a false impression, afilu b'chadrei chadorim osir, to do so even in privacy, to do an action that if done in public, even though you didn't violate things, but it would create a wrong, a false impression, doing that action even out of the eye of the public in privacy, chadrei chadorim, is also prohibited. Tanan, we cite our mission. It says, "Shoytchan b'chama v'lo k'neged om." The clothing that became soaked, you can spread them out in the sun. Just don't do it in front of people. So you see here something that if you were to do it in public, it would create a wrong impression. People would think you washed the clothing on Shabbos. So spread it out. Just don't do it in front of the public. This is a kasha on Rav. This is because Rav would have told you that even in private you cannot do something that if done in public would have led to an incorrect conclusion. The Gemara says, Tanoihi, this issue of dealing with actions that could create a false impression is a machlokes tanoim regarding can you do it in private. The Sanya, here a Tanaic source, bears out two opinions. Shoytchan b'chama v'lo k'neged om, that opinion we saw in our Mishnah. You can spread out the wet clothing in the sun, just make sure it's not in front of others. Rav Elazar ben Shimon Ostrin, they aser, even in private, they aser spreading it out in the sun because of Rav's teaching. So Rav, it conforms or is based on the ruling of Rav Elazar and Rav Shimon. Omar Rav Huna, we continue at the top of Kuf Mem Zayin. Hamenayer Taliso b'Shabbos Chayav Chatas, one who shakes out his garment on Shabbos. Now, what's he shaking it out? Shaking it off? What's he shaking off of his garment? Rashi says he's shaking off dirt. Tosfos says he's shaking off dew. So whichever pshat you use, this process is chayav chatos. It's a Shabbos level violation. Then the next few lines, you can see we've used some underlinings. Oh, this will be qualified. The Gemara says, "V'lo amoran elo bechadati." The prohibition of menayer taliso is only if it's new clothing. Avol v'atiki less lon ba. If it's worn, atiki means old clothing, means already worn clothing, then we don't have a restriction. V'lo amoran elo beuchmi. The restriction in the context of the new clothing is only if it's black, dark clothing, or black clothing, avol b'chivri v'sumki less lanba. If you're dealing with white clothing or red clothing, then there is no objection. V'hu dekapid olayu, and all of this is only if he is kapid, means he wouldn't wear it unless it was shaken out. But if he would wear it anyway, then the shaking out doesn't present a problem. We have house markings that are explained on the side. Or shnei meisim bedin zeh, two incidents that illustrate this topic. Ula iklo lepupadisa. Ula visited. He went. Iklo. He went to the town of Pupadisa. Chazer rabbanon the kamenaf siglumai, and he saw the rabbanon shaking out their cloaks. Omar ula declared, kamachalin rabbanon shabbata. The rabbis are violating Shabbos, and they were black cloaks, Rashi says. Omaluhu Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda says to the Rabbanan, who just heard Ula's declaration, he said, Nefutsu lebiape, shake it out in front of him, anan lo kabdinon midi. We aren't upset either way, meaning we would wear them anyway. As we saw before, that if it's not kopin olayot, there's no problem in shaking them out. Abaye havekoi kameid Rav Yosef. Abaye was standing in the presence of Rav Yosef. Omale havli kumsoi. Rav Yosef requested of Abaye, give me my hat. Kumsoi, my hat. Chosadika tala ale. Abaye noticed that there was dew on the hat. Havekoi machsim lemisfale. He hesitated. Machsim is he hesitated giving Rav Yosef the hat. Rashi says, because that it would have involved the shaking off of the dew. Omale, Rav Yosef said, Nefots shadi, shake it off and cast off the dew. Anan lo kapdino midi, we're not worried, we're not upset either way, meaning I would wear it even without your shaking it off. Therefore, the shaking off does not present a problem. And by the way, it's because of this story of the hat with the dew on it that Tosfos learned at the top of the Omid, when the Gemara said, Menar Talisa B'Shabbos, Tosfos said he's shaking it off from dew. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.